Today is Saturday, the 20th of July 2024, and we are gathered here for the 141st session on mindfulness for beginners conducted in the English medium by Nisaramane Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Sister Rohini joining us today representing the monastery. I would like to welcome Venerable Sister Rohini on behalf of all of us who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and also on the live stream over Facebook page of the Satipatthana Foundation. Our program will commence with an in-session practice guided by Venerable Manu as usual, and then we will move on to the talk, which is a continuation from last week's talk on overthinking, and then we will go to the Q&A session where we present written and verbal questions on mindfulness, and then we will wrap up the program for today. So to get things started, I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence the in-session practice. Over to Manu. Much merits.
Thank you, Namante. Okay, we will start today. Practice. I think we are going to sit today. So please have a comfortable seat to sit and sit comfortable manner. So saying that, if you can sit symmetrically, that is very comfortable way. But it is not restricted to symmetrical, but whatever the posture you can maintain. So please go for that. And having that relaxed body will ease you to go for a 15-20 minutes without any distractions. So while sitting in a comfortable manner, you can keep your hands on your lap or on your leg. That also should be in a comfortable manner. And close your eyes gently. So once you do, then you can observe your body, bodily feelings. Whatever the feelings you have now, maybe it is a normal bodily feeling. Is anyone, while anyone is sitting? So the sitting posture give you some kind of bodily feelings. So you can observe them. Or sometimes you might have any aches or pains or anything like that. If you can, just avoid it and focus on the breath. Or focus on your bodily movements. Or tummy movements, specifically if I say. So it is also the part of breath or part of moving air up and down. So you can observe any of that. Either breath or tummy movements or natural bodily feelings. While you are sitting like that, you might get some thoughts about past or future or about this and that, the places or people. So thoughts will come. Today I am just asking you to not to analyze those thoughts, but just let go and bring your attention back to the body, not analyzing the thoughts. If you hear something, if you are distracted from sound, so you can bring your attention back to the body without going with the sound. So in that way, we will practice for a 10-15 minutes. Okay, everyone. I hope everyone had a good sitting session. For the next one, over to you, Namantha.
Thank you and much merits to Venerable Manu for conducting the session practice and the guidance that you provided. Next, we will be able to proceed to the talk based on the continuation from last week's topic, which is overthinking. And I would like to invite Venerable Manu again to commence the talk on mindfulness for the topic today. Over to Venerable Manu again. Not much merits.
So our topic is overthinking. Overthinking. Yeah. The thinking is a food for the mind. Without thinking, mind can't survive. So the thinking is a part of a mind. Our topic is overthinking. We need to understand what is this overthinking. So usually overthinking, we can define or we can say it is like a excessive rumination on thoughts. So it is not a normal pattern of thoughts. So usually we all have thoughts. So the thoughts are running all the time, even though we are working on something else. We are doing things in day-to-day life. We do brush our teeth, we have shower, we are walking and we do a lot of office works and teaching and everything. But even though we are doing things, the thoughts are running in background. So that is the normal way. That is normal. But sometimes some people have the tendency to think same thing again and again. Then we say those people are overthinkers. So they think not in a natural way, normal way, but it's excessive. Thoughts are coming related to something but in particular. Usually those are something negative. So overthinking is, I'm not saying that negative, but I'm saying that usually we take a topic for overthinking. The topic is usually is a negative one. But saying that, I must say, if we look at those incident or the thing related to the overthinking, if you see it as optimistic or pessimistic, or if you have judgmental thoughts towards that particular incident or particular thing, then it is a negative one. But if we can look at the same thing in a realistic way, then that incident is not something to think as a negative. So what is happening in here? Usually we have thoughts, but some people get the same incident. Maybe it's a kind of incident, it's happened to many people maybe, but some people get it in a wrong way and have excessive thoughts related to that incident or related to that decision, who has made that decision. So these are really most of the time related to fear. Fear of making the wrong choices, fear of making the wrong decisions, fear of self-doubt. So if someone has that kind of self-doubt, am I going to do a right thing? Or my decisions are right? Or something like that. So those people has overthinking about the past sometimes, whatever the decision they made. And sometimes it's about the future also. It is not only about the person. Also, those things can be related to the person's relatives, husband, wife, children, parents. So those are very like it's a web. It's kind of like a web. So overthinking sometimes entangled in a web, a thinking web. So what has happened, if that person is thinking again and again in the same manner, with the same pattern of thoughts, with the same incident, so those people get a cycle of worry and doubt about the decisions or about themselves. These worries and doubts make them kind of like anxiety or attention, lack of self awareness, all those things can happen. So this is very easy in real world, in this world actually, because in the real world, a lot of information and knowledge is available. In minute away, you have, if you have a smartphone, internet is all over the world. So every time you can have any information, any knowledge about anything. So those are sometimes in a wrong manner. Those are something sometimes affect in a wrong manner. However, this kind of overthinking sometimes, it can be sometimes it's some kind of conversation, even for maybe big questions or past decision, whatever this the reason, those can lead to uncertainty or anxiety or something like emotional or mental well-being that can be affected. So those things demonstrate in different way that those people can't take any decisions. They are not, they have doubts about making decisions. So these are not good in mental health. So what we need to need to understand what is the normal condition and what is the overthinking. So if until you understand, if someone understand what is the normal and what is the overthinking, then we can't, or that person can't do anything, because the understanding should be in the first place. So if someone can understand, still I am talking about day-to-day life. So if someone can understand that I am in a kind of rut or kind of looped thinking pattern, the cycle of thinking pattern over one thing, over one incident, over one conversation, over one something happened or my decisions. So then that person, if that person understand that, then there can be some kind of remedies, kind of management skill, some kind of strategies we can use. Still, I am talking about the day-to-day worrying or day-to-day overthinking. So in here, we can, when if you are going through a normal world, if that person is, someone is overthink, that person can, if that person understand that person is overthinking, so then the person can limit thinking. Like, I am going to think about that conversation. Oh, I am going to think about that incident only for 10 minutes, only for 20 minutes. Or like that, you can limit the time. So if you are a healthy person, you can do that. Sometimes if your overthinking is beyond the limit, then you can't. But still, if you are in a limited area, so then you can limit the time, thinking time. So only I am going to think about this incident only for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. After that, I am not going to think. Likewise, you can set a time. I am still talking about the day-to-day life thinking, overthinking. So, and then also you can challenge your thoughts. So when the overthinking happen in a same manner or same incident, all the thoughts are regards to one incident. So then you know what kind of thoughts are coming again and again. Then you can challenge over those thoughts. How you can challenge? You can ask why. So when the thought comes, if you can realize or recognize the thought, recognize the incident, so then you can ask why. Why am I thinking in this way? So if you get the answer, then you can ask again why to the answer. So likewise, you can ask couple of time why. Why am I thinking in this way? So if I get the answer, then I can ask why I am thinking this way as a solution to the other question. So likewise, you can ask why. So then in that way, that your cycle of thoughts, that overthoughts or repetitive thoughts will get no more food, because you're distracting, asking why. So that is the another way of diluting your overthinking. The other one I can say, physical exercise. You can do some kind of physical exercise, like you can do gardening, you can do walking meditation, you can go for a swim. So likewise, if you do some physical exercise, physical things to do, then most of the time, those worrying thoughts will go away. There's a reason also, there's an endorphins or kind of many hormones are secreting when you are doing some physical activities. So that will help. That's for physical activities will help for overthinking or break the overthinking. The next one I can say, limit your exposure to the informations. So if you can limit listening to news, go for social medias, and even some conversations, if you can limit those things, especially if you see that those things are triggering your excessive thoughts, then you can limit all those things. Maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes in social media, no more. Maybe not listening to all sort of news. And that doesn't mean that you don't need to listen, or you don't need to aware of this, what is happening around you. I am not saying. So if you can understand, if you can realize that your thoughts are triggering, that kind of overthinking is triggering with those kind of news, or because of the social media, or because of some people are having conversation with some people, so then you can limit those things to limit the overthinking in day-to-day life. And also you can practice cultivating gratitudes. How can we do that? We can use end of the day, usually end of the day, you can think about what kind of good things I have done. Is there anything I can be gratitude about myself? So those thinking, you can write down also. So those thinking, most of the time, so much of helpful to have positive thinking. So that positive thinking might replace with negative ones. So you can use that also. That in a way, it's encouraging mindfulness as well. And also sometimes the good sleep and good balanced nutrition, balanced food, and good social interactions, associate with good people. Good people means that who are going with same vision. So if you can associate with those people, it's also something you can do to stop overthinking, or get rid of overthinking, or balance overthinking. And the other thing, share your thoughts with trusted people, or family member, or when you come back from workplace, if there's any something you are bothering about, and it is worrying you, and you are going to overthink. So you can talk with someone. Someone who are familiar with, someone who are in the same vision, someone you can trust. So like you can talk something someone like that. So that will help you to reduce the overthinking. And also you can keep a journal or writing or diary. So what, whenever you ruminate, when you are doing overthinking, when you are thinking same thing again and again, you can write it down. You can write it down in a diary or journal, maybe it as a poem, or maybe it as a kind of, we call nisandas. Like you can use it in a productive way. So that is also something you can do to eliminate or to overcome the overthinking. So once you need to, once you pinpoint out, pinpointing your triggering things, then you can use one of whatever I talk about right now. So you can use one of the things according to your triggering point. And the most important thing is you need to be kind to yourself. The overthinking, sometimes when some incident happen, even for me, some when there's an incident that is not normal, so I used to see overthinking pattern. Oh, no, okay, that same thing come again and again. So then if I am bothered about, okay, I should not do that, and I should not overthink in that way, that is, it is not okay. So if I am kind enough for myself, then I need to remember this has happened for everyone. So that is being a kind for myself. So likewise, if someone is thinking, overthinking is happening in, for some reason, then you need to realize that this is a normal human manner. So every human is experiencing this kind of things. So giving that kind of less heaviness or kind to yourself, you can avoid most of the ruminant or ruminous thoughts or overthinking thoughts. And the last thing is the important thing for us, the practicing mindfulness. The practicing mindfulness can reduce overthinking in a very systematical way. How? It is more interesting. So as a beginner, if you are sitting or if you are doing walking meditation, so to practice mindfulness, you will realize that your thinking is so rapid. You can't even notice one step, or even you can't notice a single breath, because thoughts are coming, flooding thoughts. The thoughts are come again and again with unconsciously or consciously. It doesn't matter. The thoughts are coming irregularly without any topic. So you will understand it when you sit or when you do walking meditation. You will understand it in the very beginning. That is what you understand usually, because that is what happened in the beginning. Even you are trying to focus on one breath, even you are trying to focus on a step after step, but your mind is going with thoughts or sounds or no agenda at all. So at that time you will realize, okay, my mind is full of thoughts. So it always thinking. The thoughts are there. So the first thing you will realize is the mind is like this. So that is out of mindfulness practice you will realize. Then what, as a teacher or as a facilitator, so someone will tell you, okay, don't worry about it and focus one step at a time, or focus one breath at a time, and continue not to worry about the next step, not to worry about the next breath. Just focus on right now what is happened. So when you realize, when you understand that, so you might think, okay, so you are not going to stop thinking. So if you think that, okay, I am going to stop then the thoughts will come like a flood. It will not stop at all. So instead of thinking that way, if you think, okay, no, I am not going to stop thinking, I am not going to control thinking. Instead, I am going to observe my breath or the step right now, only one step at a time. So then there's a relief to the mind also. That relief, get it in a positive manner. So what we need to do as a beginner, so we need to focus on breath if you are sitting, or focus on your bodily sensations if you are sitting. Then your thoughts will there. They also come and go, but it doesn't matter because your focal point is one step at a time, not focusing, not thinking about the future, not thinking about the next step. So only this moment, what is happened, so you are focusing on that. So in that manner, in that way, you can stop, or you can subsidize, or you can, not the control, you can ignore those thinking. That is, as a beginner, that is what we do. So when we do that, you will understand who am I. So it is very easy way of understanding who am I. So when you observe breath, or when you observe the steps while you are walking, or when you observe what is happening when you do some other works in your body, so you understand how this body is working. And while we are working, how this mind is happening, how these thoughts are happening, how these thoughts are come and go. So in that sense, you can understand who you are. So am I an angry person, or lustful person, or I'm a just neutral person, take anything in easy way. So likewise, you can understand yourself. So that is, in the beginning, when you understand that way, and in the beginning, when you focus on one step at a time and one breath at a time, like in a simple manner, then you can avoid that overthinking in the beginning. When someone is practicing more and more in a diligent way, in a respectful manner, in everyday time for a couple of weeks or months, then the mind get calm, and that person knows what is happening around him or her and within the person. When that kind of calmness is there, then all of a sudden, most of the time, the flood full of thoughts, chain of thoughts, without any relations in each other, you will notice this thing can happen. Then the thoughts are coming. Those are not interrelated sometimes. Sometimes it might be interrelated. And sometimes it is not related at all. And sometimes you can't remember those things happen or whatever happened about those thoughts or anything. But those thoughts are coming. So that is also something you can't tolerate. Sometimes it is so hard to convince even, because people think that is the meditation or the mindfulness practice is going backward, because they can't understand. They think, okay, in the beginning also that I had that kind of thoughts. Thoughts are flooded, and I was so struggled with the mindfulness practice. So one step at a time and one breath at a time, I just practice, and so I came so far. But right now, so I'm experiencing the same way. So it is so hard to convince that kind of person you are in a way or you are in a right path. So it is so difficult. So I had that kind of experience with a lady actually. So when she faced that kind of thoughts, so without any relationship, those thoughts are coming and she can't concentrate on the breath or the steps while walking. So she was complaining and complaining weeks and weeks. She is complaining. So it was so hard for me to convince the person. So you are in the right path, you are in the right way. Because it is so hard for her to understand that what is said, what is happening. So this can be happen for anyone, because that kind of healing psychological wounds, we says, we some wounds in the past we keep them without knowing. We have some kind of hidden thoughts, hidden pains, emotional pains, hiding in our mind. So what has happened, when our mind is clean and clear, when it is calm, those psychological wounds come up as thoughts, come up as sometimes it's as pictures, come up sometimes as sounds, likewise. So when it come as thoughts, so the flood of thoughts are coming, so nobody can understand what is happening. So it is, if it is a picture or a sound, okay, then someone can ask, think, okay, it is a perception maybe. But when it comes as thoughts, so when the thoughts are flooding, so anybody can see it as a overthinking. So in here, need to understand, if someone is in the middle of practice, so those excessive thoughts might be distractive. So this one thing I should say, this should be accepted with love and respect towards you. That is what in our, I think, in our topic. The overthinking is quite simple to me. It comes from all our parts that we have disowned and pushed away. So those are the things we pushed away in past, wanting to be accepted and incorporated with love and respect. So that is what we need to do while we are practicing mindfulness. If this has happened, so you need to understand this and you need to accept it with love and respect towards you. So if you don't have that kindness towards you, if you don't have that metta towards you, you can't do this. So otherwise, when this happens, you complain. Otherwise, you complain yourself. You get hatred feelings towards you. So this is not should happen. So what need to do, you need to have kind of respect and the loving kindness towards yourself and accept whatever happened right now while you are practicing. And let it go. At that point, you can let it go. In the beginning, if someone asks, okay, if you are overthinking, or if you think same thing again and again all the time, if someone says let it go, you can't do that. It is not easy. So, but after practicing so much of time, then you can do let go without interpreting those thoughts. So for continuation for this, during this period of time, if someone is expecting or experiencing this kind of experiencing, so you need to restrict unnecessary readings about news or engage in social media, and you should be with a good Kalyanamitta, good friends who has the same vision, etc. So then you can develop your practice, and you need to understand this as a progress of your practice, not going backward. And also you need to have a positive thinking towards it. You need to believe the teacher or the facilitator. And so if you do that, you can overcome that kind of mindful, that kind of overthinking. Or if you think that is overthinking, so you can overcome that in practice. In day-to-day life, you can follow what I said the earlier in my talk. So in that way, if you are a good practitioner, if you need to gain in a real confidence about your practice, Teacher can send you assurance. Teacher can provide some assurance, but at the same time, I need to tell you the practitioner can use it as a certificate for an inferential knowledge. Yeah. So deductive knowledge. So you need to understand, or you need to believe the practitioner, need to believe the teacher or the facilitator, and take that as assurance, and believe yourself, and go for believing and accepting with the loving kindness towards you. So saying that, I will end my talk. Thank you everybody for listening. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Ms. to Venerable Manu, for that insightful talk on a very relevant topic. Much Ms. Manu. Next, I would like to invite Arusha to commence the question and answer session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners from my end. Yes, over to you, Arusha. Thank you. Much merits.
Thank you very much, Namantha, and thank you to Venerable Manu for that very insightful talk. So I will start by reminding everyone and also providing for those who are new an overview of the guide for mindfulness for beginners, which starts by getting a basic understanding of the two main practices, the formal practices of mindful walking and mindful sitting. So there are these two instructional videos that explain those two practices, which the links to which are being shared in the chat right now. So you can watch those videos and follow the instructions on conducting mindful walking practice and mindful sitting practice. And we recommend that you start allocating some time each day to engaging with these practices. And normally we recommend that you start by doing some mindful walking practice and then follow that with some sitting practice and continue this until you've completed at least 2 hours of each practice in total. Once you are at that stage in your practice where you have a regular time or regular place where you can engage in the mindful walking and mindful sitting, and you've achieved that minimum of 2 hours in total for each, we ask that you write down your experience as a reflection report with a question or statement about your practice. And this report can be under the titles of mindful walking and mindful sitting. And as you'll hear today, sometimes people also write about mindfulness in daily life. But we'd ask you to start by focusing on the formal mindful walking and mindful sitting practice, describing what you felt while walking and sitting, what you recognized in terms of your posture and sensations, could be the texture of the ground, pressure points on your soles, how your body weight shifted, and so on, how you felt the incoming and outgoing breath at your nostrils and upper lip, raising and falling of the abdomen, and so on. Once you've written your report, you can send it to us by either filling out the Google form, the link provided here, or emailing us at beginnersnv@gmail.com. And these reports will be read out anonymously, maintaining anonymity. They'll be read out during these sessions for Venerable Manu or Venerable Banthe, the meditation teacher who's with us, to listen to and provide some advice and guidance on. And then, finally, we recommend then you continue your mindful practice according to the advice given. And don't worry if you miss the session where your report is read out, you can always find the recordings of past sessions at the link provided at the bottom here. So that's the guide that we have for this session. Thank you very much, Namantha, for sharing the screen. We will now move on to the section of the program where we read the reports received over the past week. And so I would like to invite Venerable Manio to listen to the reports and respond to guide our participants appropriately. With your permission, Manio, I will read the first report.
Yes, Arusha.
Thank you. Both of today's reports are quite appropriate following on from the talk that we have just heard, because they do focus on mindfulness in daily life. The first report is from an adult, and it begins, "Went into the head teacher's office for end of term pupil progress. There was some unexpected criticism from the head about a particular pupil's progress. Luckily, my attention went inwards into my body as he spoke, and I observed my nervous feelings, heat generating in the chest area, tense muscles in the shoulders, and noted angry thoughts generating. Gave genuine responses to his questions, but could feel the clammy palms and tense neck muscles as I spoke. I could tell that the head was not happy with my responses from the tone of his voice. His tone was harsh, and I could feel my body getting warmer and warmer, but miraculously my tone was so calm and unusually normal and relaxed. The meeting ended quite abruptly. I went back to class, but noted the inner chatter in the mind. Felt annoyed and angry with the head for lack of praise for how hard I've worked, pointing the finger on the outside rather than inwards out of ignorance, spoke to two colleagues and shared the negative thoughts about the head. They added more negativity, maybe to make me feel better about the incident, but all this was noted. Negative thoughts remained in the mind, but in comparison to previous incidents like this, it was easier to focus on the teaching of the next lesson and to act as nothing has happened in front of the kids. The negative thoughts about the incident still remained to some extent even when I returned home. When I reached home, only the dangers of clinging on to these negative thoughts suddenly hit me hard. Listened to a Dhamma sermon as soon as I got home and did gardening and observed all tension disappearing from body. With that, there was no more proliferation and spent rest of the evening as usual doing chores and later on did the usual sitting session. After the sitting session, the mind went into long period of emptiness. An incident like this would have given me sleepless nights 3 or 4 years ago. Much merits to you for showing me the path." End of report.
Nice report, eh? So just she or he already written in that sentence what will happen, what has happened if that happened in 3 years ago. So when I was listening to the report, it came to same thing came to my mind as well. If something like that happened to a not a practitioner, so what will happen? So that is so easily can continue for weeks or month for that person, and most of all that kind of person without mindfulness practice, that calmness in front of the principal will not happen. So the calmness, you know, is inside you are burning. So your body is burning, your heart is burning, you know that. But still you are calm. You're showing you are, Loka Swaminasa always says that, okay, you are get angry. You are angry, you know that you are angry inside you, but you are your face is smile, with a smile. So that is the benefit of mindfulness, actually. That is the miracle of mindfulness. So, and the end of the report also, it says the inner chatter is there, and she noticed, or he or she noticed it, and that burning sensation and all those things regards to the incident is happening in like a normal person, but mindful. The things are happening, but I am mindful. I'm not going to give anything out of that incident. So in here, she said that he or she was talking to two colleagues and having that negative thoughts about the incident. So maybe that two person also had the same kind of incidents before. So that kind of is, you know, sometimes it is also good Maybe people think that, okay, to pet my mind, to pet me, and they are saying those things. But in a way, it is good also, because that relief burden inside me, thinking, okay, it is a normal thing. So that person is like that for everybody. So that is normalizing. It is also a good thing. And throughout her report, his report, or I don't know, the person's report, is saying that all of the facts I talk in this talk, I mentioned in those talk, like in a gardening and the cows and everything. So nice report actually. And listen to them and do the practice, and the practice is also went good. It is not affecting to the practice also. So it's a very good, very good report. And all credits should go to the Bhantis actually.
Thank you, Venerable. I will move on to the second report, which is also from an adult and begins, mindfulness during the day. It has been a week of two halves. Some formal practice took place, although not daily. Nothing much to report on these. Mindful moments also arose and passed away. However, the underlying theme this week was not having interest in anything. Sluggishness and inertia in the mind noted well. Instead of doing something to get out of inertia, chose to watch it. Experienced the low energy free fall in mind, which hit much lower place as time passed. Office work continued, housework continued, various interactions took place, and amongst all this activity, the low feeling or disinterest also continued at various levels. None of it were permanent, as noted gaps in moments of low feeling, as parts of work and interactions bringing up interest in the mind. Gave in to the urge to listen to a Dhamma talk, then another and another. Acceptance of what is happening in the mind noted. Is it possible to have a peaceful feeling alongside the disinterest in the mind at the same time? Not sure, but it felt like the observing part of the mind was at peace while watching the disinterest rising and falling in another part of the mind. What is prominent with this experience is getting a sense of the unaffected part of the mind and the moving or affected part of the mind. Also know that this experience shall also pass. None of this may make much sense, but wanted to report on it. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. Theruvan Saranai. Report ends.
Yeah, the part of your mind is working and the part of your mind is sleeping. Sloth and top, or the like a sludge. No, nothing is happening in the part of your other part. Is you feel that. And it is going back and forth also. Sometimes you are energetic, some you feel kind of energetic, but sometimes it's so slow and doing nothing. But one question I want to ask, with that mindset, do you, miss any kind of work? That is one question I want to ask from that person, if that person is listening. So if the person is saying, yes, I miss that type of work because of my slow or low energy, then I need to say, okay, you need to look at your mind. If that person is saying, no, all the works I had done, but my mind is in a low energy level, but still I had done all the work, then I should say, okay, go ahead. So do the same again and again. Because sometimes when your mind is calm and when your mind is in a tranquilized way of when that is happened, then the mind is in a low and showing that kind of low energy. But still it is working. It is working hard. But nothing is losing, nothing is avoiding. All the work has done. I remember once I was a teacher actually. So teaching means you have some homeworks as well. So as a mother, I go to work and come back and do the household things and the cleaning and all this, cooking and everything, and all schoolwork also, the homework also done for the next day. So everything has done, but my mind is like, you know, nothing is there. So no feeling at all to do anything in happy way. So it is look like, you know, dull and, you know, frustrated life. But everything has done also. Nothing is loose. Listening to Dhamma Desana and listen, doing practice, everything has done. Even in the 24 hours time. So it is the way I think our mind is sometimes talking, sometimes not talking. So not talking doesn't mean there's no energy. Still energy is there, but not talking. So we need to understand that. So talking is not the energy. But not talking is more energetic than talking level. So sometimes mind is talk. It's in a chatting. It's a talk. And has showing as a, you know, high level of energy. Just imagine if someone is not a practitioner, mindfulness practitioner, is a normal person. Even 5, 10 years ago, myself or yourself, think about that. So we look like so energetic person, but inside us there's no energy. So always we drain off with the energy. We look like energetic and we feel like that, but the real energy is in the calm mind. So saying that, I encourage the person to take words as a certificate. And go ahead and don't think it is you are going backward. It is the you are on the path to go forward like us. Me too. We all are in the path.
Thank you very much, Venerable Manio. So that concludes the formal reports that we've received for this week. But I think we have maybe a little bit of time to invite participants to ask any further questions that they have about their practice, or based on the talk that Venerable Manio shared with us today. So if you would like to ask a question, I would invite you to raise your hand in Zoom and we can invite you to unmute your microphone and ask your question. While we're waiting for people to think about any potential questions, with your permission, Manu, I will ask one question. And it was, I think you very correctly focused in your talk about the kind of danger, unhelpfulness of the negative proliferation, the negative thoughts being the focus of our overthinking. But I wondered if you could also expand a little bit on how the positive thoughts, sometimes when something good happens and we get fixated on that, the danger of that and how we should, well, I think the approach to addressing it is probably similar to the other, but just to help us understand why overthinking positivity is also maybe something to be very aware of. If you could expand on that, Venerable Manu.
To be honest, Arosh, the positive overthinking related to positive thing is so rare because the brain is so adapted to negative thinking. So it encourages all the time negative thinking. So if just imagine for a whole day, if we take 24 hours, that whole day there are maybe a couple of mistakes we had done, and also a couple of gains, couple of something we can happy about. But after going back home, what you think is not the positive thing, what you had done in good way, but always you think about the mistakes. That is how brain is active. So that is the way brain activate. So even psychologist says the brain, the chemicals secrete in that way to accept the mistakes in with heavy how do you call it? Gravity. We give a lot of energy to that. And we make it as a topic to think again and again, because the ego is there. Ego has kind of play in there, thinking, okay, what the other people think? What about my family think? What will happen next because of this? You know, all those thinking are related to the negativity rather than positivity. So positive thing, whatever happened, even, you know, lot of positive things we achieved. But if someone remind, okay, did you do that? Yes, yes. In that way, we encourage myself, okay, yeah, happy about that. But then we forget it. So usually we take the negative things for an overthinking topic, as an overthinking topic. But positive thing is not in a way. But what we encourage is, when there's a negative thing, you need to replace those negative things with the positive. So even if I say about the Buddhism, so Buddha said, okay, if you are angry, if you get angry, then you need to contemplate on loving kindness. That doesn't mean that practicing loving kindness, you will get to the heaven or you will get to the Nibbana. That doesn't mean, but the meaning is you replace the negative thoughts about angry with the positive thought of loving kindness. So the background thoughts, we always have background thoughts. No matter you are overthinker or normal person, you always have background thoughts. So those background thoughts are the one, you know, for example, if you are having angry mood right now, so when you look around and when you see someone is moving, passing you, so you feel that this is a good person, your friend maybe is a very kind person, everything is very fine with that. When you are in an angry mood, you always find that person, even that person, bad thing. Because the background thoughts are related to the angry mood. So whatever happened, whenever happened, whoever comes there, it doesn't matter. So the angry thoughts is going combined with the person or the thing or the place. So that is why we always need to be mindful, either be mindful, always need to be mindful with the thought or the body. So like in the first report, or otherwise we need to replace background thoughts with the positive meaning, in a positive way. So for that, we can use different things. You know, we can use chanting, we can do chanting. Why people do chanting? Because to replace the negative thoughts with the positive one. So when you practice chanting again and again, your background thoughts are related to that. You know, always you remind, not the song, not a song. You know, the person is reminding, okay, itipi so bhagavain, always coming that.
Yes, yes, Manu. Thank you. We have received one more report in the chat. With your permission, I will read that out, Manu. So the report is from a 13-year-old, and it begins, walking meditation. Wind more prominent during walking one way and less prominent the other way, like it was pushing me one way and pulling the other way. Slippers moving and wobbling uncertainly when I put my foot up. I felt the gradient of the path change from positive to negative as I walked both ways. Thank you and much merits. End of report.
Yeah, the pushing and pulling, I think that is the one step. Maybe he or she described the one step and the next step, pushing and pulling, I as I understand. So that the observation is good, if that the writer meant. So when the one is, when we raise the foot and push, and then the other one is pulling. When we raise the left one, we push and put it back on the floor, and then the right side is pulling. So I hope that is what the person explained. So if that's so it is a very nice report, and a 13-year-old one is very, very interesting, and the observation are very good. Please keep on like that and report to the Bhante also, so you will get more and more advice. And please continue.
Thank you very much, Venerable Manio. So there have been no other hands been put up for questions, which I think means it is time to wrap up the question and answer session today. So my thanks again to Venerable Manio for her sage advice and guidance, insight to help us continue with our mindfulness practice in the right way. And with that, I will hand back to Namantha. Much merits, Manio. Much merits, Namantha.
Thank you very much, and many merits to you, Arusha. Thank you for helping us with the question and answer session today. And I would also like to share merits with Venerable Manio. And since we are drawing to a close of session, we would like to associate all the gained merits with the Venerable Manio and wish Manio all the best in her future endeavors in the path of mindfulness and in all the noble objectives. We wish you long life, great health, and the achievement and the fulfillment of your personal objectives in the path of Dhamma and mindfulness. Furthermore, I'd like to thank Arusha for conducting the Q&A session. Now, many merits to you, Arusha, and also for all of you who sent through the reports. Furthermore, I would like to mention with gratefulness the chief abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, the Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for insightfully requesting this program to be actualized in this format, and for his guidance and the provision of resources of Nisarana Forest Monastery in this manner. We wish him all the best in his personal endeavors, long life and great health for him. May his objectives also be achieved in quick time. I would also like to share all the merits gained with the wonderful team of organizers behind this program who are working behind the scenes. And I would like to wish them all the best and all the progress on their paths of Dhamma. And we wish these merits will enable them to have great health, long life, and also achieve their mindfulness and Dhamma objectives quickly. I would also like to thank all of you who have joined the session today through the Zoom session and also possibly through the Facebook live stream. We wish your mindfulness objectives and learnings will be achieved with comfort and ease, and that you are able to learn and apply more and more as the days and weeks pass on. This program is a source of inspiration to learn on how to be mindful in day-to-day life as well as in the two formal practices of mindful walking and mindful sitting sessions. So you can, there are three channels of areas for you to apply and practice. So we wish you are all able to practice and achieve your wisdom through these learnings in the coming weeks, months and years. I would like to say that we are ending the session now. The program will continue as usual next week at the same time. That will be 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, geographically, wherever you are located geographically. So it will be a reference to 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time on a Saturday. So yes, we will meet next week at with a similar session. With a similar topic, and until then, I hope you will have a mindful and happy week ahead, and are able to practice and apply the knowledge and wisdom gained here. I will close the session. Much merits, and thank you to all of you.